And good evening, everyone. Welcome to St. Joe and this check-in with Cam on Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtis with you, the voice of the Chiefs, along with the snapper, Kendall Gammon, 15-year Pro Bowl long snapper. All right, let's get right to the news of the day. And people were going crazy on Twitter this morning, and understandably so. I mean, Jamaal Charles, a heck of a player, and there have been some significant injuries throughout the rest of the NFL throughout training camp, but taken off the field. And Andy Reid was quick to address this after practice, but people were speculating and wondering what was going on with Jamaal, but it appears that it's not serious and something that they're just going to take a look and see.
Well, you're right, and certainly when it's your franchise running back who went for 1,500-plus yards last year, why wouldn't you be concerned? And I think it's nice that you get some explanation after practice. You know, I think it's a day-by-day thing. They'll just see how he reacts. Don't know when he'll be back. When Coach Reid was asked about the game on Friday, he said, you know, if he's ready, he'll play. If he's not, he won't. It's just that simple, and really it is just that simple.
And officially from the team, it has been called a foot strain. A foot strain, and x-rays were negative, taken as Jamaal Charles was taken up the hill. Now, so people know how the setup is here in St. Joe if you've not been here. The field's set down below at a lower level, but there's pretty steep hill.
Right.
And if you've got a foot strain, you're going to be on the cart to go up the hill. So that's something you're going to, well, you just don't walk right into the locker room. So being carted off the field sometimes has to have a qualifier as well.
Well, and quite honestly, if you can get a ride up the hill, you're going to get one no matter what.
So a healthy guy is
going to get rides. Exactly. So that doesn't tell you anything, really.
Yeah, so again, just so you know, they'll, under observation, they'll be basically day-to-day, but a foot strain for Jamaal Charles in the x-rays were negative. Andy Reid addressed it right away, and I'm with you. It's refreshing because he doesn't sit there and there's no mystery around it and
right.
Hocus pocus. He goes, hey, here's just here's the way it is and what it is. But after practice, Andy talked about Jamaal and some other matters on his desk.
All right, injuries. Jamaal Charles, he hurt his foot. Had x-ray done on it. It was negative. So it's a foot strain, and we'll just see how he does. Precautionary measures that we took there. So Malcolm Bronson we took him off PUP and he practiced a little bit today, practiced a little bit yesterday too, and a little bit today. We're just going to keep increasing him every day until he gets back. Good work today. The guys battled through a heavy live day yesterday, and then today we did some extended drive work with the ones, and I thought they handled that very well. Again, a lot of red zone work today. Well, you know, it was good work for Niles today, and if you want to take a positive out of it. So the other guys, Drone got some good work. And listen, it gives another guy an opportunity to practice. So that's how I look at it. And I thought it allowed Niles, our young running back, to get good quality reps with the ones.
From practice to practice, always an ebb and flow in training camp. Yesterday, your offense couldn't have found the end zone with a map. Today, they were all over it. What was the difference?
Well, it goes back and forth. I mean, that's how you get better as a football team. You keep challenging each other, and you're doing a lot of work with ones versus ones, and so you'd expect that. You'd expect that that to take place. It's good work. The guys challenge each other today. I mean, that's what I can tell you.
Andy, with where Fisher is in his development, how important was it to get him back on the practice field today and evidently the place on Friday night? Today?
Yeah, it was good. He pushed himself through, I every rep that a rookie can get, I think, is an important rep. He was out here doing it. So, and he pushed himself through this thing, and it was a tough practice today, so. He's coming off a couple days there where he wasn't able to do stuff. So he came out here and he worked hard.
Was a very good sign to see Eric Fisher back on the field today. He was held out of Sunday's practice, but on the field today and right back at it. So you just can't – you miss these camp days. You just don't replace them because once the season starts, as you know, it just becomes difficult to work on techniques. You're surviving day-to-day and get ready for the game. So what about having Fisher back there?
Well, Mitch, I like this because you've got an overall first-round pick. If he had said, you know what, I can't go today, he wouldn't have gone. But the fact is he's got a little bit of a thumb issue. That's been going on since the first day. That's healing up. Now he has a shoulder. He had to get some motion back. But he understands, like what you just said, you have to get those reps. They're so important. And what it tells me is that you've got number 72 that's holding himself to a higher standard than anybody else. This is a guy with tremendous pride and his tremendous work ethic. I like what he's doing, and it was great, again, to see him back out there today.
Well, Fisher will be blocking for a core of wide receivers we want to get into tonight because getting closer, ever closer, of course, to the second preseason game, but also to the first cut. Now, here's the kind of the wide receiver depth chart. If you look at it, you know, sometimes they put them into X's and Z's, but these guys line up all over the place. But what do you see here? We've talked about keeping five, maybe keeping six. I'm leaning thinking they're going to keep six. But what do you see when you see this page?
Well, Mitch, it's interesting. I agree. I think they will keep six as well, and you see it right there. Bowen, Baldwin, McCluster, and Avery, you would think the way they're working with things that those four are the most solid. And then it gets down to now you've got Copper, who was a special teams extraordinaire last year, is doing it this year also. He's on that list. But then you've got Richardson. You've got Hammond. I mean, you've got Wiley, who's showing up in the return game mm-hmm. and doing some good things and certainly is your prototypical slot receiver as well, although you did say, and rightly so, they line up all over the place. So this is a pretty tightly contested battle, probably more tightly contested than what I thought coming into camp.
Before we get into the meat of this conversation with these guys, as you see Wiley and Avery, could another spot on the roster, even if you keep an extra defensive back or an extra linebacker, bump the six wide receiver in this discussion?
There's no doubt about that. And that's, you talked about it early in camp. It is a numbers game. And this is where the numbers game, folks, comes into play. When all of a sudden you feel like you've got an extra D-back, you've got an extra offensive lineman, extra whoever it is at one position that you decide you want to keep, and it's more than you would normally keep on a roster. So now all of a sudden some other position has to suffer, and certainly there's a chance on the wide receiver that that could be the case.
Now in this group, you've got three pretty small guys here. Wiley, small. McCluster, small. A little bit Avery, a smaller type receiver. And then some bigger type guys with Bowen Baldwin. Is that part of the mix? I mean, do you want a mixture of big guys, little guys?
Well, I think it is, and Coach Reed talked about it today in terms of you want to see all your players and find out all their strengths so you know what you have. You know what type of deck you have, and week to week you can figure out what cards you want to put on the table. So you do have different shapes and sizes, speeds, stride lengths, all kinds of different things, and yet I think that's part of it because you probably look at your opponents for the year and who you're going to be going against and how the people you have match up against the people you know you're going to be going against.
We're going to hear from Dexter McCluster here in a moment, but special teams comes into this discussion with wide receivers almost always. Terrence Copper, I want to ask you about him. I call him the Sergeant Major of the special teams because he has been a guy, he's the personal protector mm-hmm. on punt. He kind of directs everything, even on the return game, on kick returns and punt returns, he's directing traffic. When you've got a sergeant major like a Copper in special teams, what does that mean to the value? And if it comes down to him, to a decision, or somebody else, does that push a Terrence Copper past the guy he's competing against?
Well, it certainly can. And, of course, he was a captain on special teams last year. He's got a history of doing good things. I think he's in his 10th year, if I'm correct. So that is an issue. And when you come into those reserve positions, special teams becomes the impetus of what's going on. But you look at other people. You know, we're talking about different positions. Sherman, who comes over from Arizona, he was a four-core guy also. I know you know that, and that's a big deal also. But you're like, wait a minute, Kendall. Wait a minute, Mitch. He's a starter, so he's not going to play four-core. Well, he's a fullback, and so he may not play as much as everybody. So he can be a four-core guy also. So it'll be interesting to see the dynamics as we go through these next three games and how people stack up.
Well, the personification, too, of special team slash wide receiver guy would be Dexter McCluster. And Dexter, everyone remembers his 94-yard touchdown on a punt return, the longest in Chiefs history, to open up the new Arrowhead in 2010 against San Diego. But he gave you a sign the other night, a 55-yard return against the New Orleans Saints, and the Chiefs were able to get a field goal off that return. Dexter today addressed not only being a receiver on this team, but his contribution on special teams.
Yeah, our special teams coach, man, he's a guy that he really loves special teams. You can tell he lives it, he breathes it, you know, night and day. And he gets his guys to believe, to work hard. And like I said, you can win games on special teams. And I think everybody right now is buying in, and we see how good we can be if we keep doing what we're doing.
Dexter, I know it's really early, obviously, but can you compare what you see your role in this offense now this year as to compare to years past?
Well, right now with this offense, you know, everybody's everywhere. You know, it's no set slot. It's no set outside person. So right now, you know, you just have to be in the right spot at the right time, and, you know, ultimately you're going to get the ball. So what I see is, you know, opportunities to actually get the ball wherever. Yeah, most definitely. I've always been the quiet type leader, but right now I'm kind of taking on a role as, you know what, I can help you. I can help you get us better and get me better ultimately. You know, we sharpen each other. And right now I'm enjoying the role. I'm going to keep trying to lead by example, and hopefully, you know, everybody else comes along.
Talk to Dave Tobe today, but when you hear Dex's comments about special teams deciding games, the Chiefs, to me, Kendall, are building up to a team that could tip a couple games to their favor on teams alone. Are you seeing that?
You're exactly right. We talked about that the other night. You can decide a couple games with special teams. And when you look at the New Orleans game, you figure out why. You have a 55-yard punt return, I believe, and a 75-yard kickoff return. Things like that make a difference in the games. And nobody knows that more than the head coach and the special teams coach. And when I've talked to some of the players throughout the week, that's the one thing they talk about is Dave Tobe and the energy that he brings to the team and the confidence that he brings to the team. It's really spreading. These guys know that with special teams, offense and defense gets a little bit easier.
You really sense that. Now, another guy to discuss if you're going to keep 5-6 receivers and special teams and where does he fit in is Devin Wiley. Last year, the train never really left the station for Devin. He had a hamstring problem in training camp and things never got going. You mentioned the 73-yard return by Nile Davis, 55-yard return by McCluster, but what's lost in that is a 31-yard kickoff return by Wiley and a 22-yard punt return. Where does Devin Wiley, in your opinion, enter into this entire discussion?
Well, he's a little bit of a wild card because he gives you some good things. He can do it on offense. You talked about last year when somebody of his size isn't completely healthy, they just can't do what they want to do. But you've seen him this year. He showed a lot of pop. We saw it in the game in terms of how he returned kicks. That's a huge thing. Certainly, I think they want Dex to return, but you got to have somebody else there as well. And the fact that he can do it, I believe, from the receiving side of it, I think these next three games, quite honestly, and maybe more importantly, these next two games may be very, very important for him from a receiver standpoint. I think they have confidence that he can help in the return game.
Interesting, and again, credit to Rachel Sanchi today, chasing down these wide receivers and talking from our 65 TPT crew, and a great job by her, by the way, being the sideline on the television game the other night against New Orleans. But Wiley talks about his return and his battle to try to make this roster as a wide receiver. And he's a confident lad, but he knows he's getting a chance. This staff is giving him an opportunity.
So two catches, 24 yards, kickoff return. What are your thoughts on Friday's game?
It was a lot of fun. It was great to be out there as a team finally, you know, with this new group of guys and new coaches. And it was a lot of fun, and it felt like we had a lot of intensity and, you know, passion in the game. You know, we just got to take that into the next one.
Now, take me through your kickoff return. It looked like you were almost gone down the field. What was going through your mind?
Well, yeah, you know, the return was to the left, so I set it up left, and the last second I saw room to the right, and I just made the cut as hard as I could. And there's just one guy to beat, and that's just the guy I got to, you know, beat next time, so.
What's it like working with Coach Tobe?
It's great. Dude, he's got a lot of energy. He's very positive, and, you know, I feel like he brings the special teams unit together really well.
Now, I've noticed you've gotten a lot of reps in practice. What do you think of the opportunities that you're getting as a wide receiver?
Well, they're great. Every opportunity, whether it's inside the slot or outside, every opportunity I'm very grateful for, and I got to make the most of each of them.
We will keep Devin under a microscope these next two games against San Francisco and Pittsburgh. Before we go to break, we're always interested in tracking what you're thinking and your questions. We want to get to some of these before the break, so let's empty the mailbox here. And let's stay on this topic of wide receivers and combined with special teams. One of you have asked, what's a four-core special teams guy?
Well, the four-core special teams guy is somebody who plays on all the special teams. And, of course, there's six special teams, but you don't really count field goal and field goal block because those are your big guys on it. So it's your punt return, kickoff return. Those guys, if they're playing on four, it's their four-core, and they're part of it. They're backups normally, but they see duty on everything. That's when you talk about your sergeant major and and Terrence Copper, somebody who's not only on the four core, but is kind of a leader of the group as well.
Another question that pertains here, a couple of young rookie receivers that have caught our attention. Rico Richardson, an undrafted rookie free agent out of Jackson State, which there have been some great Chiefs wide receivers out of Jackson State. Gloucester Richardson comes to mind off the Super Bowl champion team. And then Frankie Hammond Jr. of the University of Florida. These two guys have had flashes at times, but when you see these two, it doesn't appear there would be room for them. What about them possibly making practice squad or their performance over the next 2 weeks?
Well, certainly, again, the next 2 weeks are very, very important for them. And I won't even say this in terms of them having to perform on special teams. I think they have to probably show more as a receiver also. And I think what you talk about, Mitch, is exactly dead on in terms of they're probably more a candidate for the practice squad.
We just saw Junior Hemingway, and another one of you asked about that. Junior's been hurt. Where does Junior Hemingway enter to this discussion?
You know what? Junior was really having a great camp, and then he hurt that thumb, and he's still kind of braced up a little bit. He was out there. We saw him today, you know, out of pads, working off on the side, trying to keep his conditioning, keep his leg strength and everything. But he's one of those guys that I think was going to be a four core also, along with doing some good things, being a great possession receiver possibly for the Chiefs. But again, if you're not on the field, you can't make the team. So it's going to have a lot to do with how soon he gets healthy and back on the field.
If that thumb is slow to heal, it appears it looks to be that way. Could he go to some injured list when you make your roster moves?
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. And yeah, something could happen with that. But again, too early to tell right now because, again, we're just into the second week of games. But as we move forward, if he doesn't play this one, and it doesn't appear that he will, not being on the field right now, then you'll start to wonder what's going on.
Overlooked in the return of Eric Fisher to today's practice was the return of Donald Stevenson to yesterday's practice. In fact, Stevenson got Fisher's reps at right tackle with the first unit today. Donald was moving around a little bit like he normally does, some left tackle, some right tackle. But a question from you is about Jeff Schwartz and what Jeff Schwartz will do now that Fisher's back. Let's say in a perfect world, Fisher's right, Brandon Albert is left on the first unit, Stevenson's left on the second unit. Does Schwartz go to the right tackle with the second unit?
You know what, I think it's an interesting concept. I think you'll see him at right tackle some, like he's played, but I think you may see him at guard also if they can do some different things in there, because what I see as Schwartz is being one of those swing guys and move him around, and they want to see him in different situations in preseason. This game will tell us a lot about what he's doing and where he lines up.
Now, one of my favorite guys is Rockalicious, Rock Watkins, who keep an eye on the Rocks, number 69 if you come to watch practice or during the preseason games. But I'm intrigued with this guy. He's a large man, but his technique, Kendall, just if he can stay in shape, get in shape. The Rams liked him, but he struggled staying in shape. The Chiefs taking a look at this guy every day.
Well, you're right, and he does have very nimble feet. You see him, the feet are quick. They get up and down very quickly. He's got good technique. He's got big, long arms. He seems to have a really good pop to himself. And then also, I think, from the pass protection side of things, he locks those arms out well, and probably more importantly, he does a good job of sitting on the bull rush, which is when the defensive lineman just decides to go forward and bull you over. And if you can't stop the bull rush, you can't play in this league. And right now, he's doing some pretty good things.
But bull rushing him is like bull rushing a pickup. I mean,
yeah,
it's not an easy dude to bull rush.
Absolutely.
Do like him, though. Keep an eye on Rock Watkins, Eric Berry's boyhood friend back in Atlanta. One more question, then we'll go to the break, and it has to do with Akeem Jordan. Is he still number one at the Mike Backer position? I like what Akeem has done, but how good was he in the game?
I thought he did a good job. You know what? If it weren't for a 340-pound defensive tackle running sideline to sideline making plays, he was there to make a couple of those plays. So I think he's doing some good things. He, to answer your question, he is still running with the ones, but certainly they're taking a look at Nico Johnson. He had two tackles this last game. I think they were pleased with what he did. But again, you've got to beat the veteran out. Right now, Akeem is there.
All right, we come back. We're going to talk about another key position that could go right down to the final cut, and that is the cornerback position. Who's the fourth corner on this team? We know who the first three are, and how do the D-backs shape up? We'll have that when we return on Chiefs Live.
Better.
Well, again, the Chiefs have two more days here in St. Joe. They'll go tomorrow morning and Wednesday morning, break camp Thursday, and then head home to take on the San Francisco 49ers in the second preseason game, first home game. That'll be Friday night. And again, if you joined us late, Jamal Charles left practice today. Andy Reid addressed the situation right after practice, called it a foot strain, said the x-rays were negative, and they'll just take a look at it from day to day. Now, we talk about wide receiver. 5'6", keep six. Who are the six of the 12 that make the team? I want to ask you about the cornerback position. We know about the top three corners.
Right.
Let's take a look now at your depth chart, and what do you see here? Because we know Flowers, Smith, and Robinson are 1, 2, and 3.
Well, you're right, and then if you just go down right after that, you've got Jaleel Brown and you've got Nico Thorpe. I think those two are vying for the fourth corner slot, and here's the question. Do they play well enough that you want to keep five? And if so, then you're only keeping five safeties as well, so you get into the numbers game. It'll be interesting. This, again, we keep going with it. Is so important these next two games. And of course you see the one down there, Sanders Cummings, who has yet to get on the field because of the broken collarbone. He's kind of the wild card because he can play both positions, and so it's hard to tell, because the fact is you don't know anything if he's not on the field, so you've got to go on like he's not going to be there. But when it comes down to it, I think the others would have to really step up and do some stuff to dislodge either Brown or Thorpe, in my opinion.
You know, we're not cheating these other guys. There's actually a whole other page of guys here. There's 18 defensive backs in this camp. This is the way the depth chart looks. Now, Cummings, they liked him coming into camp. And we've talked about Sanders Cummings and how the hybrid and his ball skills, he could have played for the – I mean, he's drafted by the Arizona Diamondbacks. But to miss camp, particularly your rookie year, how difficult is that to miss this portion of camp? Because everybody's kind of waiting and seeing, what do you have when the pads go on with this guy?
Well, it's tough because you learn things in the off season, and you learn the X's and O's and your assignments. But I'm telling you, and I know this from experience, doing it in the classroom and then getting on the field and thinking right away and it being unconscious competence, it happening without you thinking about it, are two completely different things. So, you know, it's not just once he gets on the field, he's going. Once he gets up back on the field, then there's at least a 2 or 3 week time frame where you get used to things and you get back in the form that you hope you can get to, and who I think the coaches hope he can get to. So right now, he doesn't figure into anything. I still think he's here, but in terms of the short term, he doesn't help a lot.
Some of you are saying, no, wait a minute, you're talking about the fourth corner? Come on, give me a break. Because with these three corners and the investment the Chiefs have made, they should be ready to go. No, we're talking about the fourth corner. This is a division, remember, who's in this division, what teams will do, Kendall. And you know this, they get you to four wide receivers. That puts you in a position where you got to put four corners on the field. And if they think that your weakest part of your team's your fourth corner, they'll come right after you. So the fourth corner becomes a lot bigger than maybe people realize.
Well, you're right, and I can't add anything to that. I'll just simply say this. In the NFL, it's a proven fact. You look for the weak link, and then you go after it, and you go after it, and you go after it until they stop it. And if they don't stop it, you continue to go after it until they figure something out.
However, I will give you the Surgeon General's warning. If you go four wide receivers against this team, that means you'll be in minimum protection.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a few people up front will be very happy about that.
Yeah, beware. That's right. They're on the package when you want to go, I'm going to play four wide receivers. That being said, though, now, special teams. I ask you the same thing about the wide receiver position and how you got to be a team's player. Where does the fourth corner fit into special teams?
Well, they're a four core also, and I know we're using that all throughout the show, but they are. And certainly Jaleel and or Nico are somebody that would be on all the special teams most likely. Certainly punt return, they're either a gunner or they're a holdup man right there. So that is something that is so very important. We know that. And again, going back to Sanders Cummings, he's somebody who they expected to contribute highly on special teams as well. So, again, you've got this numbers game, because now it's not only different positions on the team, be it defense or offense, but now it's somebody that you like who's hurt, but you don't want to let go. So you've got a whole different aspect you've got to deal with. I'm telling you, it is so difficult come cut day, because there's so many different factors that play into it.
Well, and I want to ask you the other night what you saw on the sideline at New Orleans, because when you take into account a Jaleel Brown, but you're saying you saw some good things in special teams from the guys like a Nico Thorpe, or I know we're going to the safety position, but a Tyson Hartman or a Jaleel Brown.
Yeah, in terms of a kickoff return and punt return, what I saw was guys, you're taught, folks, If your guy gets by you, you don't go chase him because you can't do anything because somebody else is back there. They're supposed to pick him up if you don't get it. And you just turn to the next level. And what I saw was a well-coached special teams by Coach Dave Tobe of turn to the next level and go get somebody. And that's what allowed those big runs to happen. And when you get that, I'm telling you, it just becomes – it becomes a sense of you're going to try to do it every single time, and you feel like that success is coming. I saw after those returns, you know, Coach Tobe, he's got his hand in the air. He's going nuts. He's giving people high fives. I mean, that's the type of energy you love from a special teams coach.
I want to ask you, too, because one of the most fascinating things to watch in a game on a punt, when a team punts, are the gladiator battles that are out there with the gunners on the outside, because the gunners are the only two that can take off before the punt. The ball hits the foot of the punter. Did you see anything out there to the Chiefs' favor that would involve these corners in that game against New Orleans?
Well, certainly, because I saw them getting off. In terms of punt coverage, I saw them getting off double coverage in terms of those two guys trying to hold them up. I saw a good technique where one was going to the ball where the returner was, and I saw the other one going to the goal line. You saw Jahlil. He went to the goal line. He got the ball. We downed the ball at the one-yard line. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know what the percentages are, but I'd venture to say they're less than 5% of a 99-yard field that you've got to deal with. So, again, well-coached, number one, but the fact of people like Jahlil Brown, Nico Thorpe, listening to what you tell them to do and them going out on the field executing.
And you were saying on McCluster's punt return, the Saints gunners were nowhere to be seen there.
One side 15 yards away, the other side 20 yards away. Now, it was my nightmare as a long snapper running down the field, because, folks, let's be honest. Aside from the punter, I was probably the worst athlete on the field at the time, so they let the centers go. You're running down there full speed, and somebody like a Dexter McCluster is running at me full speed. You know what? I don't win that battle 110% of the time. So you want people down there to slow them up.
I remember you jacking a guy go at New Orleans on Monday Night Football that had made Ray Lewis blush. So.
Thank
being
you.
Very humble.
I appreciate that.
One guy we want to hear from, and this deals with now the coaching of these guys, because one thing I have been encouraged about during camp here in St. Joe is to see, and I love it because it's kind of the more mature guy in Emmett Thomas, who's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, but then Al Harris, this rising star, I loved him as a player at Green Bay, but Sean Smith, the pickup from Miami, talks about that, this kind of core of cornerbacks and how they're getting coached.
How do you feel now?
I feel great, man. I feel great. It's a great day to be a Chief. It was just kind of, you know, kind of surreal, you know, seeing that different uniform, you know, being in Miami for 4 years. So, you know, to put the red on and, you know, it's a new feeling, but I definitely love it. I'm happy to be here and couldn't be more happier.
You and Brandon Flowers, I mean, what kind of combination? I mean, that right corner was such a revolving door last year. Just how do you see you guys making it tough on corner?
I think it's great. You know, I think one of the biggest things for us is, you know, we both bring something different to the table. You know, Brandon's a very quick guy. You know, it's very quick hips, and, you know, I mean, can break or react on anything. And, you know, I'm more physical and, like, using my hands at the line of scrimmage and play bump and run. So when it comes to matchups, I think Coach Sutton has a wide variety of defensive backs and different schemes he can use to match up against different opponents.
When it comes to tackling, the hitting in practice, is that a departure from what you guys did in Miami, or did you do it this quickly?
Nah, I mean, tackling is something, you know, this is football. You know, it's going to happen. You know, whenever this pads on, it's going to be contact. And you have to know that going in. And
but in practice, when you see Jamal Charles running at you, do you hit him full speed? Or
do you hit Jamal Charles full speed? I mean, if the drill is live, then, yeah, you have to. I mean, you definitely want to take care of your teammates. You don't want to, you know, take any cheap shots or anything like that. But, you know, this is football. You know, if we don't hit him, somebody else is. So, like I said, you know, we have a game in a few weeks, and, you know, we're starting this thing early, and Coach wants us to be physical and fly around, so that's what we have to do.
For a corner in this league today, how important is it for you to have – two guys coaching you who have been on the corner, one all the way to the Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's great. Like I said, I don't think there's a better pair of cornerback coaches in the NFL right now. I mean, like I said, you have Emmett Thomas and Al Harris, you know, both coaching you. Al's a guy who also played press corner, you know, his whole life. So, you know, you get to pick his brain and see how he would play different techniques. And like I said, playing against opposite of Brandon Flowers, you know, a guy who's, I think, is one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL right now, is definitely going to make me better as an individual.
So we'll see. Wide receiver, fourth corner, how this shakes out. Tomorrow night will be our final show from St. Joe. Again, the team breaks camp. There'll be one more practice on Wednesday, but we're kind of getting shipped out here on Wednesday, getting ready for that game on Friday, breaking camp here. So we'll kind of do a whole look back at the almost 3 weeks we've had here in St. Joe. Overall, how are you feeling today, particularly as it pertains to Jamaal Charles and where this team bounces into the next 2 days?
Well, you know what? I liked how the team responded today. It didn't go so well for the offense yesterday, better for the defense. And then they came back today. The offense did some good things with the red zone work. But in general, I think they just had a better sense and feel out there, and that's to be expected. You're 2 days now away from the game as opposed to one. It's been a good camp. They're doing some good things. I'm excited about what I see. Certainly, you want to see it continue into this game and the two after that, but you know what? They're on the right track.
Yeah, and the positive of Jamaal going out, there's no real positive to it, was the fact that Niall Davis got a gob of repetitions. I put it out on Twitter today. They were in the red zone a lot. Man, you can't – those are valuable for a rookie, and you like Niall and what he's doing, but he got a lot of work today, a lot of looks, a lot of reps.
Well, you're right, and head coach Andy Reid addressed just that. He said, you know what, he goes out, somebody else has to step up, and Niall got a lot of quality reps with the one unit is I believe what he said exactly, and he's exactly right because you're going to have to count on him at some point in time.
One more show from St. Joe. It comes up tomorrow night here. Come out to practice the next two mornings. Again, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, break camp Thursday, 49ers on Friday. For the Long Snapper, Kendall Gammon, I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Thanks for joining us at camp here at Missouri Western State University.
This is a dorm room, but it's not an ordinary dorm room. Here, the lights are on at sunrise, and they're off at dark, because at this school, the last thing you want to do is fail. This is Chiefs training camp at Missouri Western State University. Classes are now in session.